Hello and welcome to our Heads or Tails segment. I'm Chief Economist here, Anthony Smith, here with the one and only Michael Rudolph, and we are talking about heads or tailwinds within the macroeconomy. Michael, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and what are we jumping into?
So I have been working on a little puzzle, and I don't have the brain power to sort it out myself, so which is why I'm glad we have a real economist here to help me out with it instead of one who just places one on TV. We had the FOMC meet last week, and of course, to no one's surprise, they held the target federal funds rate at the current level. But really, I think you might agree that the biggest change or the biggest noteworthy event from that meeting was the dramatic pivot in the Fed's marketing or messaging strategy to say that, you know, we went from it's premature to talk about rate cuts to rate cuts are on the table right now. And that changed from, you know, within 2 weeks, right, at the beginning of the month to December 14th. And so I guess the puzzle is what made them change their mind in that 2 week period. So we have some data that came up in that time period. We have the CPI, right, inflation, all items, and then housing is that purple lavender line right there. Inflation was a little bit hotter than expected, right? If you look at headline inflation across the board, it was up, I think, 0.1% month over month. That's not a big deal. Core CPI was a little bit stickier, up 0.3% month over month. But the real issue was super core inflation. And that's something that the Fed has said that they love to target because it's core services, less housing, right? So getting a haircut, which, you know, I know nothing about, you know, or just like any kind of service that you would get other than shelter, because shelter is kind of its own market, right? Super core inflation was up half a percentage point month over month. And it was above that 4% year over year level that is kind of seen as critical. So if the Fed, you know, is its number one battle is against inflation and specifically super core inflation, I don't really know what they saw in the latest round of data that kind of gave them license to say, we're thinking about rate cuts. I think we're going to pack it up pretty soon.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to kind of see the talking points, especially if you're on the call or on the meeting that the Jay Powell has, and really kind of looking at the stock market in real time as it reacts to it. And one of the interesting things that's always kind of seems to be on the bingo cards is that dual mandate, not just to tame inflation, but also bring that balance back to the labor market. And although we haven't seen a big spike in the unemployment rate, one of the interesting things that we did see, of course, is the job openings number. It's hit highs, of course, over 10 million previously, now coming down to that 8.7 million, I believe is the latest report, still at historic highs if we look at, you know, previous years, but definitely stair-stepping downwards. And I'm starting to think if that's going to be one of the areas that they're looking at potentially to say, all right, this is still overheated labor market, but we are starting to see some downward movement here overall.
That is, I guess, the question then, like the balancing act between the labor market and inflation. Because we did see in the latest print of the jobs report that, you know, the unemployment rate was relatively tame. I think it was 3.7%, which is pretty good, all things considered. But then again, it was kind of, boosted by all those striking workers from the auto industry and Hollywood kind of coming back into the fold. So it's, I guess there's really kind of an unclear picture that I have of what the labor market is doing right now. But wage growth does seem to be relatively within control, unless you look at super core inflation, which is, you know, what we do. We also had retail sales in November that were actually a little bit stronger than expected to. I mean, that's to be expected, you know, Cyber Monday, Black Friday, so on and so forth. And then this, again, lavender, fuchsia, I don't know my colors, but this other line, this the line that's not blue, that's furniture. And so, of course, you see that big spike in, 2020, 2021, right? And then it comes down pretty dramatically. That started to come up again. And that's a big kind of durable goods purchase that's tied to the housing market because you're trying to buy a new home or you move into a new place, you fill it out with IKEA furniture if you're on my budget, or, you know, I guess renovation hardware if you're on a different one. That's ticking up again too. So whether or not that's just like kind of a dead cat bounce, like we saw in the middle of 2023, kind of Memorial Day sales, or if it's something more substantive, like I think that's on the table too. But if consumers do find themselves comfortable buying these big ticket items like furniture, that would kind of leave a lingering question in my mind, like, are we kind of over this hump yet? And I don't really know what the Fed is looking at to kind of say, yes, we are, definitively.
Definitely. I think we're looking at that retail sales report, of course, not adjusted for inflation. It's definitely intriguing to see some of the trends happening within different subsectors. So the latest one showed, definitely, as you mentioned, push to more e-commerce. So we did see downward movement for department stores, things like that, but increases for non-store retailers in the most recent report. Also saw some movement upwards for food and services. Definitely also kind of leads into that service spending still playing a bigger role this time of the year than maybe it would previously in this fourth quarter here. We're looking at that downward movement in the housing segment. It's interesting because, like you said, it's those big ticket purchases. When you're looking at houses being built, of course, the furniture going in there, the appliances, things like that, those are definitely have taken somewhat of a beating with, of course, elevated mortgage rates. And then you also look at credit card utilization. Now it costs more to, you know, make those purchases on a credit card. Then you have things like student loans coming back, the savings rate not quite where it was before the pre-pandemic levels. A lot of consumers definitely also making use of buy now, pay later programs, which can definitely start to be a bit of a pestilence as we get into the new year as well.
Right. And I think we did see some data on the Black Friday, Cyber Monday side of things from Adobe Analytics. You know, the buy now, pay later utilization rate is somewhat of a black box, somewhat of a mystery because it's not reported to the credit agencies. But I think we saw something like a 46% year-over-year spike in the buy now, pay later programs during that kind of Black Friday season. So that was somewhat alarming to me, especially given the stuff we do know about credit utilization going on. This last thing is the producer price index. This is the one kind of thing where I could say, like, on the face of it, I understand where the Fed is coming from, because if we kind of use that standard six-month cycle that inflation kind of trickles down from the producers to the consumers over 6 months, right? This did come down. It was, I think 0.9% year over year, just the headline PPI, which is great to see. The core PPI, I think, was at its lowest year over year gain since January of 2021. So, of course, a lot of that's driven by like lowering energy prices. I think the oil markets are not set to reverse course anytime soon. I think they found their ceiling, if not their floor. And so we'll see where the PPI leads us for the time being. But this is, I think, the most inspiring thing, that maybe inflation is kind of in the rearview mirror, at least for this go around. But I'm not sure. What do you see in it?
Yeah, it definitely kind of reminds me, I don't know if you ever played that game growing up where you flip a card over and you try to find the match for it. As you mentioned, energy prices. So this looks very close to what we've seen on the CPI for energy, what we've seen overall for energy prices coming down. I think that is a great tailwind to kind of hang your hat on. We're looking at the alleviation of some of those energy prices, because that's definitely propped up a lot of the inflation going on this far in the year. I think one of the interesting thing is looking at the value of the US dollar going into the new year. And I think also if we start to see rate cuts, does this start to undo some of the work that the Fed has done? And what are going to be the accelerating rates that we're going to see on those cuts? Are we going to see a 25 basis point cut? Are we going to see a 50 point reduction there? And so it's going to be interesting to see how those impacts kind of impact our rate of inflation when it looks at the value of the US dollar, and also what it looks like to really spur any kind of consumer demand at all.
Right. Well, hopefully the first cut is the deepest, but we will see when it comes time. My confusion aside, I think this is an obvious tailwind, right? This is, markets are positive. People are feeling increasingly more confident about the soft landing. So if, you know, by some miracle, the soft landing is achieved, this is a great and obvious benefit for not only truckload markets, but the economy at large.
A miracle indeed. Michael, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll check in again with you in the new year. That's going to do it for this segment. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more for News Now.